Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on December 19th, 2014 at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. Seven storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, These Dreams. This week's story comes to us from Beth Jaffe and is titled Missoula's Dream Vortex and Other Good Ideas. Thank you for listening.
I'm blinded by the light. Thank you all for being here tonight. And thank you, Mark and Joyce, for this fabulous venue. And the other venue of the actual physical Top Hat. Thank you, Mr. Nick, for purchasing it. Because you see, the first day I stepped into the Top Hat was the day Steve Garr died. And I was paying my respects to the man's dream. He spent 20 years of his life just carrying it, and it was really heavy. And I think it made him sick, to tell you the truth. And he kind of turned a little bit of yellow and a little bit of green and gray. He never really had the glow of health for the 8 years I knew him. In fact, when I moved into his neighborhood, I had told my kids, watch out for the troll at the end of the road. Because he's scary. He drives that creepy van really slowly. And I thought, for sure he's going to pick those kids up and drive off with them. But I had to send them out into the street because they were wild and they were bouncing off the walls. And it was really hard to be their mom all the time. So yes, I had a dream of the end of the world, and it was totally creepy and crazy and so upsetting. And I woke up in a crazy sweat, freaking out, and all I knew, and I couldn't explain it to the people around me, but I just said, I gotta get out of Kalispell. He's gonna kill me. I hate Kalispell, and I need to leave. I actually lived in the woods closer to Whitefish, but it was officially Kalispell, but my neighbors were nuts. In fact, when I met Bob and we went back up to Kalispell to go get my stuff, he like tossed his coffee one morning because my neighbor was practicing his gun shooting. Another time I had the bullets whizzing by my head. I think that started that apocalyptic dream. But it was really right about the time that the carousel opened that I had this dream. And I, at this point, honestly believe that that carousel is a swirling vortex of our town's dreams. And that is the anchor for this town at this point. We all came together and said, let's... Of course, it was all everybody else. I wasn't there. But they like carved the ponies and they painted them and they made this place. I was there when they built the playground. And those crazy wild kids, it was like somehow they came home to themselves when we'd go to the carousel and spin faster than any other carousel in North America. It was like they suddenly knew who they were. And everything was okay. And in fact, I called it the witching hour, and I told them they needed to stay open a little bit longer because sometimes 5 o'clock wasn't long enough for me, because like 5 o'clock was when I realized I was in the extreme depths of the witching hour. And it was a bad time in my day. And in fact, I had to eventually give it over to Bob. You're making dinner. Because Steve Garr would drive down the street really slowly every day. You could say whatever you want to say about him, but that guy was consistent. And he would drive down the street, and I knew, tell the kids to finish up their game, make the dinner. It's time for night soon. But he owned this bar, and I knew that. And he inspired me one day to start drinking. And I realized that that's who started happy hour. Parents. Yes, and I decided we all needed to be together for happy hour, and we needed live music, and we needed our kids running amok, and we didn't have to worry about where they were. And that was one of the cool things about having him in our neighborhood, was that I never had to worry about the kids when he was in the neighborhood, because he had his eye on them. And I got to go to his wedding, and it was a little freaky because the kids were totally crazy, and I wasn't comfortable, but he was talking to them, so I slowed down and said, okay, I'll relax. But, you know, I don't know what they're saying. We're leaving. We left the wedding early, even though I had a nice time talking to his lovely daughter, and it was a wonderful event. And it was like a little while later, I ran out to him. I was super desperate. I was like, Steve, I need to talk to you. I love your wedding, and I've been thinking about live music in Missoula. It's so cool. And was it okay that the kids were there? What they were doing? What were they saying to you? You know? And Steve's like, I've been watching your kids for years. The guy did not smile. Your kids? He didn't say anything else. He rolled up his window and drove down the road. I'm like, okay. Yay, I love Steve. Steve's awesome. And when he died, we came here, and I decided, oh, now I get it, yes. And when his daughter was walking down the street a couple years later, or a year later, I don't remember, it was kind of a time warp, and she had this beautiful pregnant belly, and I came running out because I'm a big pregnant belly fan. I want to touch the baby. And she was sad, and I was sad, and I was just like, I'm so sorry, Steve's not going to meet this baby. You know, because he was kind of grumpy, but he really liked the kids. And she's like, I know, and his stupid bar, and his stupid blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was hard, and I was like, I can't believe you're still running a bar. She was a yoga teacher in Hawaii, like Whole Foods, raw foods gal. She's running this bar, and she's like, I got to change up the energy in the top hat. And I said, throw a pile of kids in there. Kids will change the energy in a second. And I told her about one of my dreams that I made come true. It was years ago. Bob was working above the Raven Cafe, and I knew Rose and her partner, and I would talked them up, and I said, you have got to do this thing for me, because I'm a crazy lady and I need a real happy hour with live music. And so they made this awesome mac and cheese with way too much heavy cream and a bratwurst, and these guys that I had been camping with, who'd been playing their guitars around the campground, turns out that they were like Bob Weir and Brian Hall, and they had kids music, and they were pretty amazing, and they were really nice. And I knew this other guy through somebody, because it's Missoula, we all know each other. And so we had Marco from Mudslide Charlie and all these guys, and they would come and they'd play live music, and the kids would go nuts, and it was so much fun. The parents brought their own beer, because Raven didn't have beer in those days. And at one point, there was this pile of little girls that got up on top of a table. And Bob Weir was like, well, this isn't what I had in mind when I got into being a honky-tonk singer. But we all were so grateful. And I told Coley this story. And I said, there's a market for live music with families in a bar. And so if ever on a Friday night at 6 o'clock, you could find it in your schedule to go down to the carousel and read their story on that giant plaque, you should. And then you walk yourself back up here to this sweet bar, and you take a look around, and you realize, ah, dreams come true in Missoula. And then you think about it and figure out how to help me make my next trick come true. Because this is really where it's at. Because this isn't just for the kids and the parents. This is for everybody. And Ernie, I don't think he's going to see it. He's in my neighborhood. He lets the kids jump in and out of the bushes, which is why we needed Steve driving slowly. But old folks like this, young folks like this, kids like it, people without kids, college kids, everybody loves what I spent a lot of time in my childhood doing. Now, I came from a place on the other side of the country, halfway between Montreal and New York City. And it was about the size of Missoula, but it always felt so much worse. It never felt so nice. That's why I came here. Except when I was doing this one particular activity. And I want you guys to imagine doing this activity with me as a kid and here in Missoula, because we can make it happen just like we did with that carousel. Because in Lake George Village, if you can throw a frisbee, you can hit a miniature golf course. We need Missoula Mini Golf. Because if you go to the right kind of mini golf, you know what I'm talking about. It's not putt-putt. Putt-putt is like McDonald's, as Dell's Place is to Missoula. And if you go to the right putt-putt at the heart of Lake George Village and you say, I want to go around the world, you could break the Iron Curtain and win a free game of golf. Or on the other side, you could go around around the U.S., and I want to have a mini golf course here in Missoula where it's partway inside, partway outside, and you could have 18 holes on your left where you will find liberal Missoula. And you can see our Grizzlies play in football and our Ospreys play in baseball and our colorful freaky ponies running in circles and all kinds of cool and authentic stuff that we make. And you could go on the left-hand or the right-hand side and go around Montana, and you could meet Lewis and Clark, and you could meet Custer on his last stand. And if you're really lucky on the right day, you could break the dam at Glacial Lake Missoula and win yourself a free game of mini golf.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art, the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, performance art, and live storytelling. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust. Haley Faust is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel. Custom screen printing. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. great music, great people, rockandrudies.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavalny of Missoula Soundworks, missoulasoundworks.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers. Beth Jaffe, Shelby Humphreys, Pat Williams, Ethan Siegel, Blake Nicolazzo, Jack Rowan, and Karen McNenny. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and learn about the themes for 2015. TellUsSomething.org. Thank you for listening. Have a great one.